Hey, this is John Lee Dumas, the founder and host of Entrepreneur on Fire, awarded Best of iTunes, and you are listening to the Austin Real Estate Podcast by the number one agent, Eric Hegwer. Desires and their completion, and prepare to ignite.
Well, the longer you stay in real estate here in Austin, the more interesting things you see. And today's little bit of news that I want to share with you is nothing spectacular, but I just found it curious and interesting. We all know the Peanuts comic strip, I think. Charlie Brown, you probably heard of, and his dog Snoopy, Lucy, who always pulls the football away from Charlie Brown and makes him fall flat on his back. We all have probably seen the Halloween, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown TV special on Halloween time. Anyway, we all know the Peanuts comic strip. One of my personal favorites. Anyway, the creator was a gentleman named Charles Schulz, and he died a number of years ago. But what's interesting is he actually had some land here in Austin. I didn't realize that connection. And he owned a triangular piece of land just south of the First Street Bridge, right near the Long Center. It's been an area that's been developed lately, not his particular tract of land, but it looks like it might be because it's up for things are in negotiations right now for them to sell this triangular strip of land. Currently, there's a Hooters and a parking lot on this stretch, and I've parked in that parking lot many times. Never been to the Hooters, but been to the parking lot lots because it's good free parking when you're going to the Long Center or to hike and bike trail. But that looks like they're going to be redeveloping that area and putting in probably a high rise and condos and some office stuff, I'm guessing, and making it more walkable, I hope. It's a great little spot of land. And well, the land in downtown Austin's been going pretty quickly and for big prices. I'm not into the whole commercial development stuff, but I find it interesting to watch and change because it does drive our economy. The as good as our downtown gets and the better it gets, the better our economy is. And well, more people move here and that raises prices, but it still is, I like fun things to do, and hopefully they'll grow more fun things to do. Which leads me into the title of today's episode. My name is Eric Hegwer, and I'm a real estate agent here in Austin, Texas with JB Goodwin. You're listening to the Austin Real Estate Podcast. And like I mentioned, the title of today's episode is Things to Do in Austin. I believe Austin is a world-class city. It's been making top 10 lists through Forbes and a bunch of other websites as places to move to, places to visit, destinations to visit, lifestyle choices, exercise. It's a great, great town to be in. And today's episode about things to do in Austin, I'm going to go over some of the lists of things to do in Austin online. When you Google things to do in Austin, you'll see tons and tons of lists, 35 things to do, 10 things to do, best things to do on a weekend. And I want to share with you some of the places that I go as a real estate agent to find unique things to do here in town for my family and to suggest to my clients. You know, Austin doesn't have a single destination landmark. It's not like San Francisco, which has the Golden Gate Bridge, or New York City with Times Square, the Statue of Liberty, or Paris with the Eiffel Tower. Austin is more of an experience city, some place where you go to have not an adventure, but to be here and just to experience the lifestyle. And the lists that I'm going to go over, there's some physical places you can go, but most of the places are driven by the people and the events that happen there and the things that you can do with a small group of people or by yourself or as a couple or as a family that are fun things to do and give you lots and lots of memories. So with that, I'm going to go in this list from some of the stuff that is not my favorite to my more favorite things at the very end. And you can see a list and links on my website, the Austin Real Estate Podcast. You can click through them and see the things that you would enjoy doing. So the first one I'm going to start with is through TripAdvisor, the travel website. And they have a list called the Top 10 Things to Do in Austin. And it's kind of a generic, boring list. It goes over the state capitol, Lady Bird Hike and Bike Trail, the LBJ Presidential Library, the Bob Bullock State History Museum. And these are all fun things to do. They're kind of like once every 3 or 4 years you do them and kind of cross them off your list. They don't change very much. So once you've done them, it's pretty much you've seen it and it's time to move on, with some exceptions. But generally, that's the way it is. The next list that I want to talk about is the BuzzFeed 35 Things Everybody Should Do in Austin. And that's a better list, if you ask me. It has more Austin-y things to do. Stuff like pack a picnic lunch and head to the gorgeous Hamilton Pool. A fantastic place to go swimming. It can get very crowded on hot summer days. Pick up your dancing boots and go do two-stepping at the Broken Spoke. Lots and lots of fun, lots of Austin flavor there. Watch the bats come out from the Conger Street Bridge. Fantastic things to do. One of my favorites is compare breakfast tacos at as many local favorites as your stomach can handle, and determine your own personal winner, of course. I love a good breakfast taco, and I'm not going to share my favorite place to go because I don't want to become overrun with people, because they still have cheap prices, big helpings, and amazing, amazing flavor. As we go down this BuzzFeed list, here's a fun one. Spend some time in the amazing ladies' bathroom at Don's Depot. That's a piano bar on West 5th Street, so it's not for everybody, but it's got a cool little bathroom, and I've actually been in there. Go shopping at Uncommon Objects. Have margaritas at Polvos. Go up to Mount Bonnell. It's a common makeout spot. It's a great place to watch fireworks, by the way, here in Austin. Go to Spider House Cafe, which has an amazing chai tea milkshake. You just have to experience that. You can go see some amazing sculpture at the Umloff Sculpture Garden. Go to the Harry Ransom Center, where you can look over David Foster Wallace's papers or see a lot of Magnum photographs from the Magnum Photography Group, which I think is incredible. If you're here on a game day, and if you don't know what a game day is, well, you're not Texan. If you're here on game day when the UT Longhorns play, see if you can get tickets and go to a game. The stadium is enormous, and there is a culture there and the tailgating there, and it's a party the whole time. Make sure you wear some burnt orange so you can fit in. At least if you don't have burnt orange, wear white, go experience that. It's a sight to behold. Anyway, the BuzzFeed list is more my style of things to go see. I think it's a better list, and you might want to take a look at that. You can find the link again on the Austin Real Estate Podcast website and just search for the Things to Do in Austin episode. Another great list, as I go down my best things to do here, is the 365 Things to Do in Austin website. It's called 365thingsaustin.com, and it's updated more frequently. So there's more timely kind of things, less things that happen all the time, but more events, movie things. There's a calendar of events that happen. All kinds of different things at the 365 Things Austin website. It's great. So if you're looking for something that's happening this weekend or maybe in the next couple of days, definitely go visit that website. I'm not going to go over the different things because they're all very time specific, and I don't know when you're going to be listening to this episode. It could be frequently or it could be an archive, but I want you to go check out the 365 Things Austin website if you are curious about some current events. Another one with current events that's happening, and this one's more concert-based, is the Do 512. The letters D-O and the numbers 512. That was started by one of my friend's husbands. And it's pretty much an event and concert-based calendar of things that are upcoming. Shows, music, all kinds of fun things. As I look through the list, the different musicians that come to town, dancing, karaoke. There's a turtle watching event happening between now and the end of the year here in Austin. It's a great place to go again for more current events that are happening. The last one I want to talk about, and I'm going to try to find in the future something that I recorded with the owner of this website, Heidi, is the Free Fun in Austin website. She's a mother. Whoa, if you just heard that, we had a great big shot of lightning right outside my office. We're having a thunderstorm coming in here in a little bit. That one gave me a little scare. As I record this episode, you'd never know about Austin weather, and I'm not in a soundproof room, obviously. Anyway, the Free Fun in Austin website is run by my friend Heidi. She had a bunch of kids. She has a bunch of kids, and she was looking for fun things to do that are low cost or free in around town for her younger kids. She started a Twitter account and a website and a Facebook group, and now has an amazing following and writers that work for her. For this website. Every week she goes over the top 10 free events that are happening here in town. She has giveaways. She does things for date nights. She talks about other things like parades and music festivals. And she has an amazing, amazing up-to-date calendar of pretty much everything you could do for a family. Where the DO512 website is maybe for couples and people without kids, the Free Fun in Austin website is for families and people with kids. The orientation is just a little bit different. But those are some of the places that I go to for looking for events to do and things to do when either clients ask me or I have family in town or I just need something to do with my kiddo and whatnot. One game I've often wanted to play is... I believe it's possible to eat for free every day here in Austin. I don't think you could ever go hungry. A lot of these events have free or very, very low-cost food, hot dogs, hamburgers, beer, barbecue, whatever. And a lot of them, like I said, have free snacks and stuff and waters at them. So you can plan your day carefully and probably eat every single meal out at an event. And yes, there are that many events that happen. Something is happening pretty much 24/7 here in Austin, all day, every day of the year. Hopefully these websites will help you find something to do if you're looking for that. The next thing I want to talk about, like I do in every episode, is to give a tip. Yesterday, in episode number, I believe it was number 5, I was talking about paperwork for landlords. And today I want to talk about the paperwork for renters briefly. I'll go over this again in a future episode in much more detail. But today I'm going to go over the Texas Association of Realtors residential lease application. When I got started in real estate, I helped a lot of people find places to live. And it's still a very common thing to do here in Austin. Is with everybody moving here, they typically don't buy a house right away. Instead, people want to rent for a year, find a good neighborhood, look for good schools, see if they're going to stay here in town. And so they rent for a year. And I've helped a lot of people moving from outside of Austin into Austin looking for rental houses. And they've all filled out this simple 4-page residential lease application. I've evaluated hundreds of these things, probably thousands of them over my time as an agent. And I want to share with you how to fill out the application, a couple of tips and tricks, and what the number one thing is that you get rejected for. So there's a number of sections on this application, and you can either download it from my website, or if you're applying for a place, the agent who's helping you rent will get you one of these. If you're not using an agent, send me a note, and I'll send you one of these applications. Anyway, there's some basic information that they want from you. The property address, when you're going to move in, what the monthly rent and the security deposit is, if you were referred by a real estate agent or not, or how you heard about it, and then they're going to want your personal information, first name, last name, email, phone number, social security number, date of birth, and some descriptors, height, weight, and stuff like that. They're going to ask for an emergency contact, and they're going to ask for all the people who live on the who are going to live on the property. This top section is probably the second most common place where I see people rejected. The number one reason I see people rejected is by lying on the application, by giving false information, by not listing everybody who's going to live on the property. If you are serious about getting a place, you need to be 100% honest and accurate on these applications, because if you're not, somebody else will be. I guarantee it. There's enough people moving here that... that there's competition, and and you need to be upfront about everything and not worry about your past, not try to hide anything, but be honest about it, and that will help you get the place. If you lie about it, they can automatically reject you. Landlords can automatically reject you. I've automatically rejected people for lying on their applications. So don't do it. Just put down all the people who are going to live there. Be honest about your information and continue on. This first section is probably the second most common place where I've seen people lie on their application. I'll get to the number one place as we hit it. But as we go down, they're going to ask for your current and previous addresses. It's important to put down the dates you moved in and a phone number that we can contact somebody who can verify that you live there, the landlord or property manager's name. Not a family member, unless, of course, you live with a family member, but somebody who is involved with maintaining the property so that we can verify that you did indeed live there. And there's two of those, previous and current address. They're going to ask for your current and previous employers, supervisors, employment dates, phone numbers again, and monthly income. Fill that out, because while we cannot ask what you make, we can get your employment verified, and that's an important step, because without a job, how are you going to pay for a place to live? Landlords want to have their money on time every month, and they're not going to put somebody in their place that can't pay for it. There are exceptions, of course. If you're just starting out and have a job offer letter, that works. If you're going to pay cash up front for an entire year, that works too. If your parents are going to be co-signers, make sure the place does take co-signers, and there's a separate application for them. And you can email me, Eric@EricEstate, and I'll get you guys a guarantor form. But they are going to ask for how you're employed, and we're going to verify that. If there's anything else, any other sources of income that you want to have considered, whether you're getting, financial aid or Social Security disability or something else, money from an ex-spouse, child support, put any of that in there, and we'll consider that as well. They're going to want to know how many cars are on the property. There are limits to how many cars you can have on a piece of on a rental property, and so we're going to need that information. Any pets you may have. Some places take pets, some people don't, some places don't. Some places have restrictions on the kind of pets. It's important to put all that down. And then we get to a bunch of check boxes at the bottom of page 2. This is the number one place where I see people make mistakes. I'm not going to read through the questions, but one thing that happens is a full background check will be performed, at least by J.B. Goodwin. And most other places do a complete background check, looking for criminal history, drunk driving, bankruptcies, broken leases. We're going to find out about that. So be honest and upfront if you've ever had any of these things happen to you. Because if you, again, lie on your application, you'll be automatically rejected and you'll lose your fees to apply. Happens all the time. People don't think they'll get caught, and they do. So just be upfront about it and honest, and 9 times out of 10, if you're honest about it, we can work around it. But if you lie about it, there's nothing we can do. The third page is a little bit of legal stuff. It outlines any fees that may be being charged and where they're going to go. There is an acknowledgement representations section that you're going to sign and basically release information, and that you agree that the statements in this application are true and complete. You have to sign every page, or at least initial every page, and sign pages 3 and 4. Page 4 is a release for the landlord if they need to get any information about previous employers, previous landlords, previous mortgages. It's the release that allows us to do all these checks. And by not signing this, we can't do those checks, and somebody else will sign it, and they'll get approved. But that's basically the residential lease application here in Austin. It goes for all of Texas. It's very simple. It takes about 20 minutes to fill out if you've never done it before. It takes about 5 minutes if you have. And if you need a copy, if you didn't get one, you're thinking of applying to a place, just send me a note from my website, ericestate.com, or the Austin Real Estate Podcast. I'd be happy to share one with you. Finally today, before I go, I would like to tell a little story about how I helped get multiple above offer asking I listed a house for sale, and I got more than the house was listed for by using a coming soon technique to get multiple offers above asking price. And the way I did that was not just by putting a sign in the ground and waiting for people to call me, but I actively pre-marketed this property to real estate agents here in Austin. I'd had the pictures taken of the property. I wrote up a full description. I made up a little flyer, and I compiled an email list of all 12,000 realtors' names here in Austin. It didn't take long. It's all public information on the Trek website. So I created a file and downloaded all the information, found the emails, and sent out a huge mass email with a clever subject line and the pictures of the property to all 12,000 people. And I asked if anybody had any clients that were looking to move to this neighborhood, or if they had any clients that were looking at this price point. And I got a lot of responses to that. When the property came on the market, there was a flood of activity, and in 2 days we had over asking price. People were very upset. One person was very happy that they got the house, but a lot of people were upset because they thought they had a leg up and they didn't bid enough. But if you're selling your house, that's one of the things I can do for you is to generate a lot of activity and a lot of buzz about your house before it goes on the market, and get you potentially above asking price for multiple offers, which is every client's dream. I want to thank you for listening to the Austin Real Estate Podcast. As always, I value your input. I'd love to hear any comments you have. I'd love to hear a review from you. I live on these reviews. I make changes based on what you guys tell me. So take a few minutes out of your day and either send me a tweet at Eric Estate or go to my website, ericestate.com, or visit the austinrealestatepodcast.com or iTunes, and just let me a little feedback. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any friends that are looking to buy or sell real estate, please, please tell them about this podcast. I think they'll find it valuable and useful. They can search for properties for free without ever registering on my website, ericestate.com. You can search the entire MLS, just like a realtor does. And if you contact me and tell me what you're looking for, perhaps I can find you a property that hasn't even been on the market yet. I want to thank you, and I will see you tomorrow, which will be one full week of podcasting. Have a great day. And here's to desires and their completion.